Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Candice Renee, and thank you so much for listening to the Actors Lounge.
Hey, guys, and welcome back to an all new episode of the Actors Lounge. I'm your host, Melanie Victor, and today we have with us a very special guest. Please welcome to the show actress and writer Candice Renee. Hey, Candice, how's it going?
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. Get to know a little bit more about you and your story and just, you know, how you got your start in acting. So that's really where I like to begin. You know, I know you started acting and performing at a young age. So where did that come from? Like, where did your love for acting and performing start? Like, how did you get your start?
So I'll say that when I was pretty young, I kind of enjoyed making people laugh. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, first, second grade, class clown, just, you know, oh, everybody is laughing at what I did. Oh my God, I'm funny.
Yeah.
And I would go home and watch Saturday Night Live with my mom or like in Living Color. And I just thought like, wow, I want to do that. Like, mm-hmm. they're just making everybody laugh. This is so fun. But I kind of came from a family that was very professional and they were all like doctors and lawyers. And so I was like, I gotta be a doctor. I gotta be a lawyer, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I think by the time I was like 11 and I had done like some science classes and Saturday medical classes for kids. I mean, I was going all out and I was like, you know what, this ain't it. I don't like it, but what do I like? Mm-hmm. And so after I realized like, you know what, maybe entertainment law won't work either because it's too serious. Mm. I can just keep the entertainment part and see how that works. And so I asked my mother to put me in an acting school. I had some friends who were, excuse me, in acting classes. Because mm-hmm. I grew up in LA. Mm-hmm. And so they were in this acting school. And I was like, Mom, please put me in this class. Like, it sounds so fun. And she did. Like, right away, she's like, all right. And I never stopped going to acting class after that. Never stopped. And I was 12.
Wow.
So, and that was it. And then I went to college and I studied theater, in New York, and I stayed in New York for like 13 years doing theater and, kind of slowly transitioned into television and film. Mm. And then moved back to LA and have been doing TV and film. I've done a little bit of theater in LA, but mostly just mostly TV and film, because you know, that's where the money is at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So whenever I got started and just being consistent and staying with it, because it was like, that's what I have to do, this is my path, you know, I can't give up. And it was hard. It was not always easy, even though I started at a young age. But, you know, the industry is so fickle that it's like, you know, it's like you have a moment and you're doing well and then you're not, mm-hmm. and then you're not working and then you have your moment.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey.
How did you deal with those times, like the ups and the downs when you weren't working, when things weren't like coming mm-hmm. in as much? How did you deal with that?
Most of the time I dealt with it well, right? Especially mm-hmm. when I was younger, because I was like, oh, there'll be more. It was hard because it's like a lot of rejection, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot of no's and I don't know. Can you change your hair? Mm-hmm. You know, things like that. And so I was very optimistic and positive throughout that time. When I got a little older though, you know, staying positive about it became harder because it was like, all right, I'm getting older.
Yeah.
I don't have these options that everybody else has when they're younger anymore. You know, I'm not 20 anymore. So it's just kind of like, should I use my master's degree and just get a job? There was a time where I was like, all right, let me apply for a job as a counselor. Cause I went back to school and got a master's in counseling. So I'm like, all right, applying for jobs.
I have my master's in counseling too.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to just start applying for jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I wasn't getting a lot of auditions, I wasn't booking. I was like, all right, I'm going to apply for this job. Mm. And then, you know, what happened? I didn't get any of those jobs either. Mm. So I was like, girl, just stick to what you know. And so I just like leaned on it and you know, put everything into it, and things got better and better and better. And so Really just consistency and persistence and all of that. All of it you have to have, and because people walk away from it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just amazing just how you started training at a young age and you were so focused, like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I want my life to look like. And you're still doing that to this day. I mean, that's a testament in itself because a lot of people, you know, just being able to withstand, like, it's such a journey. And the journey is so unpredictable. Like, you don't know what's going to come out of it. Like, you can try, you can put your, you know, put all the work in and stuff, but you just, you know, you don't really know how things are going to play out. But one thing you know is if you don't quit, you know, the opportunities can still present itself. So I think that's amazing that you've been able to withstand and you have had success as an actress. That's amazing. Yeah, so you spent half of your life in California and New York. What, because those are like two, I mean, I've never lived in New York, but my perception of it is like it's opposite from California, different lifestyles. So, you know, how do you feel like having both of, like the best of both worlds in a sense? Like, how do you feel like it prepared you as a person to be able to pursue such a career as acting?
That's a good question. I think that, being in LA slash Hollywood kind of shows you, and I hate to say this, but it shows you the nasty parts of the business, the nasty parts of the industry, and, the fake parts and, it really, really exposes that in ways that you hate to kind of deal with, but you have to see it in order to know what's going on around you. And then I think in New York, it prepared me to, I think New York really prepared me to be strong in the industry because it's all about hard work and it's all about like hitting the ground. And it's really all about, preparation and training in New York, in my opinion. When I was auditioning in New York, there was no, we're going to book the girl who looks better. I didn't experience that in New York. I experienced, we're going to book the person who is the better actress. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen in New York, but that, from being in theater and, just going in and out of that industry, that side of the industry, I learned that it was really, really, really important to fine-tune your talent and your skill and kind of zone in on what you're good at. And so, like, if you go anywhere, right? If you go to Atlanta, if you go to LA, whatever, Toronto, wherever, you're prepared. New York prepares you.
Yeah. That I feel like that is my perception too. Like I said, I've never lived in New York. I don't have that experience, but it seems like it will prepare you for the hustle, like the work ethic, the grind. Like, yeah. And I feel you on what you said. Like, LA, it exposes you to a different side, like the nasty side. You know, like, I mean, not just the
It
nasty side,
does. Not just the nasty side.
but it's real though. Like, it's a whole nother ball game in LA for sure. So you mentioned that you received your degree in acting. How would you say your school training prepared you for life as an actress, like the real deal? Do you feel like it prepared you? Because I hear people, they're kind of split on this when it comes to school training versus just like the real, you know, like when you really get out there and become an actress. Like, do you feel like it prepared you, or how would you say that was for you?
Well, I think that my schooling prepared me for auditioning. They prepared me for being kind of flexible and prepared in the room. And not even just the room, but like at work, right? Because things change so much. And the training part of it was just a training, right? So that's not necessarily preparing me for what's going to happen in the industry in the real world, but I definitely felt ready as far as my skill went. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I don't have to second guess myself as far as my skill. I don't have to second guess myself as far as preparing a script. You know what I'm saying? I was definitely ready because I had been doing it for so long in schooling. But it did not prepare me for like we discussed, the grimy part, right? Like the business side of it. That's one thing that I think that schools can kind of figure out how to include, you know, in the curriculum somehow, is the business side of things. Because I was studying theater, they did give us a class on theater management. It's dr drastically different than, you know, the TV and film industry. And I think that, you know, having some kind of training behind the union and how that works, and, you know, the differences between like film and TV contracts, stuff like that. For me, I think that would have been very helpful going into the real world because, you know, I know what I have to look forward to when I'm dealing with agents and managers and, you know, contracts and stuff like that. That part of it was missing. But the skill part of it, I was definitely ready. And, you know, when you get to your senior year in any acting program, they're definitely like, all right, here's what where we're focusing on. And it's really focused on you getting out there into the industry in the real world and hitting the pavement and knocking out auditions and how to be in a room and how to deal with casting directors. So, you know, I think my school at least did a really good job of that. And even before I got to college, because I was training in the conservatory, you know, I had some hands-on with that as well. So I definitely felt prepared.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I've heard just different, but I think it's just different people's schools that they go to. It's just different experiences all around. So, yeah, that's fair to say. So, what do you feel like? How do you feel you've evolved as an actress, and just like as far as like how you approach your work or just how you audition? I say go into the room, but you know what I mean. I know things are a little different now, but like how do you feel you ev have evolved over time as an actress?
I think that now I'm better at just being completely natural with everything. Whereas, you know, as a theatrically trained person, it's kind of like you're a little bigger, right? And so coming from theater to TV, you got to tone it down. And so that evolution is real, right? So you're coming from this theater standpoint, and now you're coming from a much a natural standpoint, right? Because you're on camera. And so that evolution has been great and fun and all that. And then once you get back on stage, you're like, oh, okay, I got to be big again, right? But so knowing how to quickly, you know, differentiate the two as a performer is not the easiest thing. There's some people who like can't do both. You know, I've seen A-list celebrities try to do theater because they have a name and it's terrible. Like they just, it wasn't for them, right? They wanted to be natural on stage and you can't do that. So I think that growing into a double-sided actor or performer in that way is something I take pride in. And then also, I always thought like I had to, that people would make me choose, oh, do I want to do comedy or do I want to do drama? You know, I felt like that pe people would just, well, choose one. You can't be both. And I found that no, I can. Like I am doing both. You know what I mean? And more people are doing both now. And so being comfortable with that has been something that I sit in now, which I haven't always sat in. You know, I used to be like, I'm only booking drama, I'm not booking comedy. And then now I'm like booking the comedy. So it's like, okay, I'm good. Okay, I'm comfortable now. You know what I mean? So that's another evolution too that has been a long time coming.
It's so good to like just sometimes have those reflective moments just to look back and be like, you know what? I've come a long way in this, you know, just hearing your just evolution, you know, just how you from when you started to like now, have you grown and evolved? I think it's inspiring for other actors, actresses to know that like you start where you start, but you can grow and you can get better and you can like evolve over time. So that's I like to ask that question because I like to see like hear people's like just reflections about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are a series regular on Tyler Perry's Bruh, which will be premiering the second season is premiering May 27th, which is very soon.
Yes.
Very exciting. So tell us a little bit about the show, about your character and just, you know, your experience working on that show.
Yeah. So Bruh is about four Black men in Atlanta who are just going through life as, you know, guys in their 30s, right? But in a more positive way than what we're kind of used to seeing, right? They're not, they're just regular guys who are, you know, have great jobs, they're doing well for themselves, and they're just going through the ins and outs of, you know, life, relationships, and family drama and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see, I think, you know, a group of Black men in this way, because we don't get to see that much on television. It's usually Black women that we, you know, group of Black women. So, but my character, it plays one of the love interests of one of the men who's Bill, played by Monty Washington. And her character is, I feel like most Black women can relate to her because it's she her character, Regina, she, you know, it's like she's trying to stand tall and be strong for herself and not put up with, you know, the BS that may come her way by anybody, especially her man, right? But, you know, it's hard. Yeah. We always look at situations from a distance and say, girl, you need to stop dealing with him. I don't know why you're still dealing with him. You know, but then we get in the situation and we're like, oh, God, I don't know what to do, right? So Regina is like that. You know, she starts off like, I'm going to be strong. I'm not doing this. I'm not putting up with this. And then she gets soft, you know. So Regina's character really, you see, especially this coming season, you see her like, you know, just trying to think on her own and make decisions that like make sense for herself. And then, you know, it becomes dramatic as things do. But Regina, I feel like lives in everybody in some way. She lives in me. I mean, I'm not Regina. Candace is definitely not Regina. But I think even the other character, the other female character that's played by Alyssa Goss, she plays Pamela, she, you know, even some of her stuff, like, I'm like, yeah, I can relate to some of that too. And it's interesting because a Black man is writing this. So some of the things you want to be like, I don't know if I would do that. But it's a fun show. And I think, you know, the elements of both comedy and drama that live in the show are great. I'm not so funny in it, but you know, there's comedy. And I'm excited to get to see the second season myself.
I'm sure. It's like you'll be watching it along with us, right? Like you shot it.
I have to, because the way that we shoot, it's almost like, you know, we kind of go so fast that I'm like, what did I just do? I don't remember.
And that's, you know, I've interviewed a number of actors who have worked with Tyler Perry, and they all say that it's like so fast paced, and like they're watching the show with us when it comes out, because you guys shoot so fast. It's like, okay, what happened?
So
it's
all fast. Order, I know. And it's
just how did so two questions, like, what was that like? Was this your first series regular role?
Yes.
Okay. So what was that adjustment like? Because in my, you know, mind, it seems like that's just like a whole nother level, right? Like, okay, you're on. It's not like, oh, you have a few lines. Like, no, you're on. So what was that adjustment like? And okay, I guess we can start there. Like, what was that?
Yeah, so definitely an adjustment. Because I was used to, I mean, there was so many adjustments, because I, you know, booking even just a recurring role on a show, which I've done, was like, okay, you get your script, when you're coming, you shoot that out for a couple of weeks, and this was definitely not it, right? I had a unique experience because when I was cast as Regina, I was the last character to be cast out of everyone. They kind of went back to their drawing board and, had more auditions to find Regina, and I didn't go in on the first round. So when I was cast, I didn't get to meet all the other people that were auditioning. Like, I didn't meet anybody until I got to the studios in Atlanta. Everybody else had met, right? They had chemistry reads, they had callbacks together, all this stuff. I didn't. I had one audition. They went back to the drawing board. They had to hurry. They had more auditions. I went in, I auditioned with the casting director. I found out maybe a day or two later that I got it. I was like, wait, what? There's no callback? There's no chemistry? There's no producer session? What's I'm not casting. Like, what is what? So I mean, it happened so fast. Then I got thrown all the scripts and they were like, yeah, so here's the shoot. See you on Monday. And I was like, oh my God. Right? So learning the lines much faster, shooting much faster, everything was like a fastball. And, it was different. Everything was just like different. So I had a lot of anxiety going in. But what I will say is my theatrical training, if I did not have that training, I would have struggled for sure, for sure. Because the way that we shoot, it's kind of like you have one take. It's kind of like soap opera style where, all right, we got it. Oh, wait, I'm gonna do it again. No, we got it.
We're moving on.
So it's like, you put on your best performance the first time because that's all you get.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot. It is.
But you did it. Like, that's I commend you guys. You guys are so amazing to me. You guys are like champions. Because of just everything that I hear of, how the environment is and just the fast pace and, like, come on, let's get it. Let's, have all this
Right.
dialogue to memorize and we're about to shoot. Let's go. And you guys all like perform. I mean, from the shows and that I've watched, like, I'm just always really impressed. And I love you guys' stories. And a lot of you say, after it's like the Tyler Perry boot camp, like after,
Yeah.
going through that, we can do anything. We're ready for
No,
anything.
seriously, anything.
Oh, that's tight. I love that. I really love that a lot. So now, as far as, so it premieres on May 27th, and that could be watched, people
Yes.
can watch that on, is it the BET Plus app or is it on?
Yes, it's going to be on the BET Plus app. We have not shifted over to BET as of yet, crossing our fingers. Hopefully that happens midway through the season, I'm hoping. But yes, on BET Plus, and I think May 27th, they're going to show the first three episodes of the season. So it'll be episodes 1 through 3 right away. So that's cool. Yeah.
That's
And
awesome.
also we used to be kind of like a half hour show, and without commercials it kind of shifts it down to like 23 minutes, and now we are more of an hour long show, so the show will be longer, more like 44 minutes or something like that. Yeah, so
Oh,
that's
I
good,
didn't.
because last season people were like, it's too short, like the episodes, it's cuts off too early. So yeah, so that's a big deal now that the show is longer. yeah
That's new
yeah
information. I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yes,
That's awesome.
yes.
That's exciting. Wow, that's cool. And so, Candice, you also do voiceover. Like, in addition
Yes.
to acting, you do voiceover. You have a beautiful voice, by the way. Like, I'm not surprised that you do voiceover.
Thank you.
How did you get started doing voiceover?
I kind of forced my way into it.
Oh,
So,
nice.
when I want to, yeah, I was in New York and I had a commercial agent. Agency, whom I'm still with, is CESD. Shout out to CESD. And they had a voiceover department. I was just doing commercials, and I always wanted to do voices because I was doing accents and like characters. That was like my favorite thing to do. Like I wanted to be on SNL, like a fit. So I was like, I want to do voice. I want to do cartoons and stuff. And so I went over to the voiceover department and they kind of were like, I mean, cartoon, like animation and stuff in New York, they really just use names. And so they were kind of like, we don't know about that, but you can do some like commercial stuff. We'll see what you can do. So they gave me a chance and I started booking. So they were like, okay. So I've been doing voiceovers with my agency for the past, what, 15 years now. And so now I'm kind of shifting more into more animation and video games. Before I was really only doing like commercial stuff. So but it's so fun. So I did my first show. It's called Archer on FX, and it's super racy, like adult animation. And I play like a Nigerian woman on one episode, and then I play some other lady on another episode. But yeah, it's so fun. It's really fun.
That's really cool. So what advice would you give to actors who want to transition into it? Like how can they get started?
Everybody always says like make your own reel to get started, and I think that's a perfect way. I would, record myself doing different kinds of ads, if you will, including animation. Like, find a good commercial ad that your voice might sound good on. A McDonald's is always good, and kind of record that. And then choose like a animated show for kids or something, like Sponge, not SpongeBob, that's not really for
At
kids,
all,
but
right?
like a fun, Wow Wow Wubsy show or something. I don't know what's out on Nickelodeon anymore. And then, do something fun like that. And then maybe do, just choose the characters that you do and record them in, with some script that you find, like an old grandmother. I just tell people find these different characters, six or seven, record, different snippets, and then make a reel. And there's actually ways where you can pitch yourself for VO work online. I can't think on top of my head, but there's a couple of websites where,
Oh, like
you
Voice
can
123.
go on. Yes, and do audiobooks and all kind of stuff. So, because it's so much work, and you don't always have to be, union to do voiceover. That's the good thing about voiceover, is that there's so much work that is not union. And so you can put yourself out there before you get your own. And then once you start, getting little things, you can pitch yourself to an agent, a VO agent, and go from there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I always hear great, amazing things about voiceover. A lot of people that do it, they're like, "Oh no, it's been good to me. It's been really
Yeah,
good."
especially during the pandemic,
Oh, I'm
because it
sure.
was like, when nothing was being filmed, it was like voiceover, voiceover, voiceover. It was insane. I mean, I was probably doing like 10 auditions a week, if maybe more.
That's incredible. And you obviously have your own home studio.
So I have a
Somewhat.
mic,
I mean, I
I go in
said
my
home.
closet.
Yeah, like I said home studio, but you know what I mean? I got a home studio, but yeah, it's not like it's my version of it.
Because I always think of a home studio as being, hooked up with Source Connect or something, so that
Oh,
when you
yeah.
do book a job, you can actually, plug in to them through there. I don't have all that. I've during the pandemic, I was like, I should really invest in this. It's not too expensive, but it's not cheap. And so it is, but if you're dedicated to it, it's definitely worth it to set up a small studio in your house if you can. It's worth it.
What do you think, like cost-wise, in order to like get a, a mic, recording software, like what would be like a budget for that?
I say budget around 2,500 because you want to soundproof your area. You want to have a good mic. You definitely have to have a good mic. And you may not want to get Source Connect right away, but if you do the regular Source Connect, there's some kind of monthly fee that goes along with it, or you can pay for it like by the year. There's also a free version, but there's oftentimes if you book work, the producers will be like, no, we don't want that version because it doesn't do everything. So I would budget around 2,000 to 2,500 just to, if you're building something enclosed in your home, that'll cost more. If not, if you're using just like a part of a room. It'll be a little cheaper, but you definitely want to soundproof it the right way, and make sure you have a excellent mic or lav for your recordings. A lot of times, when you audition, they don't really care that you have the best quality sounding audition. So, have if you're starting out and you're just auditioning, I wouldn't go all out and get a studio built yet. But if you're booking and they want you to, more and more you're seeing they want you to record from home, it's definitely worth it.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So, what would you tell, just to kind of wrap it all up, what would you tell, knowing what you know now about the business, what would you tell your younger self? What advice would you give yourself starting out?
I would tell myself to do more of the work on my own, and that's the business side of things, right? Like I always thought I got to rely on my agent, I got to rely on my manager, I got to rely on them to, and there were times, a lot of times, where I definitely submitted myself for things and I got the audition for myself. But business wise, I would have worked a little bit harder for me, and not just trusting somebody just because they're my agent. Maybe this agent is not good for me. Let me go and look for someone else, Maybe this management is not a good fit. And let me, you know what I mean? As opposed to just staying there and waiting around. I've done that. And it wasted time. I wasted a lot of time. So I would just tell myself and my younger self to do more of the legwork on the business side of things.
Yeah, no, that's really key. And what do you think is okay, so just to piggyback off of that, like when it comes to agents, managers, when you feel like, it's not working, I'm not getting out, I'm not, what is like the best way to go about that? And what do you think is like too long to wait around and just be like, all right, I'm gonna give it some time. Like, what would you say?
Well, first, I think the communication between your representation is the most important part. And so I would always go, when I felt like I wasn't getting in the rooms, I would go to my agent or manager and say, am I getting seen for this role? I heard about this. I saw a breakdown for this. Was I submitted? And I would make sure that I was being submitted for the things that I knew about that were right for me. And that's very helpful because a lot of times, if your agent is doing the right thing the right way, they can send you a submission report like, hey, Candace, this is what we submitted you on. We did submit you on all these, and then you can see a full list of everything you were submitted on. Okay, well, they didn't call me in the room. What can we do to get called in the room? Since you submitted me for 45 things this month and I got called in once, what can I do? Okay, well, let's switch up your headshots. Maybe let's submit you on more short films so that you can get a reel built up. Things like that, so that you're working towards getting yourself better and aligned to get the work. And sometimes you do all of that work and you're still not getting called in. So maybe it is the relationship part, right? People forget about that part. The relationships are super important as well. And the relationships often start with your representation. Does my representation know anybody? Do they have a rep do they have a rapport with these casting directors that I need to be in front of, right? And if they tell you, no, I don't know them, I don't, well, okay, well, let's work on you getting those relationships built. So I'm saying that you also need to get your representation to work on those relationships as well. You're not the only one, right? Your agents have to have relationships or good rapport with casting directors. It's a must. Or else they're going to be like, who is this agent? I don't know them. I don't know their people. I don't need to call them in, right? I know them, but I don't know this agent. So you have to like really stay in communication with your reps. Hey, let's work on your relationships with Kim Coleman or whoever. Do like send them something and send them a breakdown of who you've got on your roster, something. Agents have to do work too, and a lot of times don't. So you're not going to get called in to that casting director's office if your agent is not working or they don't know your agent or your management. So it really is important. I talk to my manager a lot. And it like we he'll he called me today. Hey, what's up? Have you heard about this? Okay, well, yeah, things are picking up, so we're trying to get you in for this. You know, just stay in touch and see who what they're doing. What legwork are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Are you waiting for things to come to you, or are you reaching out, or are you building your relationships as well? Because you get me in the door. So it's really about kind of like staying up on, because this is your team, so you're staying up on your business, on your brand. You're staying up on everything, so you know what's going on, and not relying on your reps to do everything for you.
I think that's a big one. That's a big one. Because I think a lot of actors feel like, all right, all I need is my agent, my manager. Once I have that, I'm good. And it's like, it doesn't always work. It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't.
That's really good
It's
advice.
true.
So before we wrap, can you let listeners know where they can find you, where they can keep up with you? And then if you have any like last or final parting words you want to share, this would be the time.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. You can find me online. Instagram is at the Candice Renee, or the Candice Renee. Same thing on Twitter, at the Candice Renee. And I think I'm the same on TikTok too. I'll be trying to do TikTok because I'm like, this is fun. And I was in, look, during the pandemic, I was like, I need something to do. So I'll be all on TikTok now. But Instagram is my main thing. So at the Candice Renee, CANDICE with an I. And that's it. I hope everybody watches the show. This season is so good compared to the first season, I would have to say. Tyler Perry, just he really did a good job with the writing this time. On the second season, so it's super relatable this season all the way around. So just tune in to Bruh on BT Plus starting May 27th.
I'm super excited to watch and like tune into the show. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for sharing your story, your journey. I really, really appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right, thank you. Well, you have a good rest of your day, okay?
You too.
All right, take care.
And you bye.
Bye.